someone once said, live free or die. Right? Bill Martinez live.
It's all about freedom, ladies and gentlemen, and don't let go of that. It is so key. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 28 minutes before the top of the hour. As promised, Bruce Thatcher is with us. Bruce is the author of the breakthrough book, Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. The founder of History Speaks Today, a project dedicated to sharing lessons learned from history, help us avoid making the same mistakes. What a novel concept, right? Well, he's just released a new book, Rise and Decline, Where We Are and What We Can Do About It. It examines the history of four expired nations to validate the premise that rejection of the basic values on which a nation is founded leads inexorably to decline and extinction. Bruce Thatcher, always good to have you with us. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine and delighted to be here, Bill.
Well, Bruce, congratulations on the book. I know for many people who think about this country and are concerned about this country, on one hand, say we are so blessed, and we've been so blessed in the 200-plus years of this great American experiment, but we see that we're becoming unhinged and letting go of these founding principles, and this is really throwing us into chaos. And our thought leaders and those who are in positions of influence, legislatively, politically, and so on, seem to think that for some reason, just like with housing and other economic issues, that they should just be, you know, continuing no matter what.
Well, they do, and their point of view, I think, and the point of view of far too many of the leaders is a very, very short-term point of view, having to do with the furthering of mostly of their own agenda and their own interests. Rise and Decline talks about the nation, the effects on nations, and most particularly the United States in our situation, and points out that these things have long-term consequences for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren and so forth. Mm-hmm. And we need to think about that, because we're doing a lot of things, I think we have been doing a lot of things, that is undermining that potential future. Mm-hmm. Rise and Decline, the title points out and essentially establishes that all nations go through a life cycle starting with founding or birth and rising and maturing and declining and finally, perish. They go out of existence. The second part of it, where we are and what we can do about it, has to do with the United States, and that's the biggest piece of the book.
Right. Well, and as you say, like the sun, you know, coming up in the morning and the moon coming up at night, there are patterns and there are cycles that occur. And empirically, and as we look over history, all nations have gone through this cycle. None have been able to avoid it here to speak to. The only one unique nation you could probably look at is Israel.
Well, Israel is still in terms of history. Israel is a very young nation. Mm-hmm. It has distinctly gone through phases of this cycle. I haven't studied Israel in terms of its life cycle kind of thing, mm-hmm. So I couldn't say exactly where it is. But I suspect it's still in the rising portion mm-hmm. of its life cycle, and.
Well, that would be its new life cycle since 1948.
Yes, right. Yeah,
exactly. Relatively new, but nonetheless, it's gone through its cycle. And what other country like Israel has gone away to be no more, but yet suddenly in one day, as the Bible states, it came to life once again.
Well, Israel, the people of Israel have gone through. You're right. They've gone through many life cycles. Israel has risen, shined, and it's been obliterated, and the people dispersed, mm-hmm. and they've come back, and they've done it again. In my examination, I deal with life cycles of in that case, each iteration, each nation, defined as a political entity. And there's probably, you're right, there's a number of studies potentially just associated with the people in Israel.
Well, in your book, Rise and Decline, the empirical evidence that you approve in this book, give an example of the nations that you studied.
Well, we studied four nations that have gone all the way through that cycle. Ancient Athens, the Roman Republic. An interesting one was the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, which had, in the middle 1500s or so, was the biggest and most powerful nation in Europe. Mm-hmm. And most people don't really realize that. And within less than 100 years, disappeared off the face of the map.
Yeah. Yeah, so much so that we wouldn't even think about that.
That's right.
Right.
And as you pointed out, as regards with Israel, the Poland has come back. It has reappeared as a new nation. I would argue twice, once after the fall of Nazism and once after the fall of communism.
Yes,
there.
Exactly. Right.
Then the fourth one that we studied the whole life cycle was the Third French Republic, which ran from 1870 to 1940. So from those four, we were able to see that throughout the entire cycle, life cycle, there is a pattern that depends on and is deeply tied to the founding values of each country.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not all the same, of course, but
right.
The extent to which the people buy into those founding values, and then later on, the extent to which they ignore them, has a lot to do with the rise and the decline of the nation. That's consistent throughout, and that's what I show is consistent through the two nations that have not yet completed their life cycles, the United Kingdom and the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I show that we are both in our decline, and as regards the United States, I suggest there's some things we can do about it.
Well, relevant to America's life as a nation, Bruce, we know when it started, but when did it actually start to decline? When did you see, historically, as you look back, when did you notice that we started letting go of these founding values?
Well, during the complete life cycle, there's been a lot of activity of building and supporting founding values, and there have also been attacks on them, mostly by the government. Attempting to usurp them. We reached our peak in 1945 and our maturity was, that's not right. We've reached maturity, I would say, in 1945 and our great years ran from 1945 to, in my estimation, in the 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
We were absolutely at the top of our game, at the peak.
Mm-hmm.
I picked 1993 as when the decline started, but you really, you can look at the history and you can even look at it in the book and you can argue anywhere from the 60s to maybe the World Trade Center bombing. Anywhere in there, somebody can build a case for that's when it started.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the 60s is when we started to see really significant activities in our educational institutions that began to diminish these founding values.
Well, actually, and when you talk about education, I'm glad you brought that up, Bruce. You go back and it was the start of the, the 20th century, the late 1900s. When there was a takeover of public education and you had the Christian influence being blunted there. And so that was the start. And I even go back a little bit further in looking at even Darwin's influence, because that seemed to give some place and some reason to be for the anti-Christian movement and, to really have science trump faith. And, so I go to some of those points as well. But we'll talk more about it on the other side of the break here. We're talking with Bruce Thatcher, Rise and Decline, his new book, The Cycle of Nations. And I know some of you have talked about it before and have said, is America on the road to extinction? Good question. Stay with us. More from Bruce after this. It's just about 18 before the top of the hour. Well, the Washington Post is reporting that, as expected, I say as expected, many of us expected it anyway, that President Trump would go to the Western Wall. And it is being reported that he is, in fact, the first president to be praying at the Western Wall. And I think the timing of it is quite interesting, Bruce Thatcher, that he would be praying there as we're talking about the founding principles of this great country of ours. And there is no doubt that this country did, in fact, start as a Christian nation, didn't it?
It did. And there's such an enormous power in those just few sentences that bring our founding principles in. The founding principles are very well summarized in the Declaration of Independence and the preamble to the Constitution, the preamble, and obviously extended in the Bill of Rights. If you look at the preamble to the Declaration of Independence, the first thing it says is that all men and women are created equal. And then it goes on to say, the very next thing, endowed by their creator, not by their government, not by their king, by their creator. And I can't find a more explicit documentation that this country is founded on theological values and principles. It goes on, certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those are the big three. Mm-hmm. And liberty is a huge part of that. The Constitution preamble goes on to say that we have, in order to establish four or five things, and the climax of that is secure the blessings of liberty. You're right, it's absolutely disingenuous for people to argue that we were not founded on Christian principles. We were.
Yeah, and this is the thing that bothers many of us, Bruce, is that, you know, these are really, these are our North Stars, so to speak. This is what this country is all about. And as you point out in your book, when nations begin to forget their founding principles, that's an indication of their decline. And and from time to time in this country, we've had what people would call spiritual revivals, where we reconnect with these founding principles, and the country gets like this this dose of adrenaline and renewal. And you know, that's the only hope I believe that we can have here in America today, that would happen. You know, in my conversations with Franklin Graham, he reminds me that in his travels, there are what we would call bonfires of revival taking place, where he will go and pray with people. And there's thousands of people that will show up to pray, not just on a National Day of Prayer, but just on a day that they happen to bring focus to prayer. And it is quite renewing and revitalizing to these cities and to these families who participate in this, because they've done the very thing that you have noted as a historian in saying, wow, when people connect to their founding principles, they become a dynamic force once again.
They do. And in the book, I argue that this is absolutely the only, and it's not, it's just not an argue for revivals of religious revivals, mm-hmm. But it involves things like that. It doesn't argue that everybody has to be a Christian. In this country, they do not. But everybody does have to, if we want to persist, accept the values from that were present at the founding of the country. Mm-hmm. And it begins with, I don't know where it begins, but it includes parents specifically in instilling those kinds of values in their children. And it proceeds through most especially the educational system where these things have been just terribly ripped out of the fabric of the teaching in our country. We don't even teach history and civics in lots of places anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's tragic. That's hurting us.
Yeah, Bruce, as an educator yourself, it has to be painful for you to see that something as vital and as important to families and to this country that, you know, its founding principles are thrown around and, you know, dumped into the, in the dumpster as if they don't matter.
We're into, cultural relativism where, it's kind of the pattern has been, well, you know, whatever's right for you is fine.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, we're not going to teach values in schools because they might offend somebody. And we get away from teaching anything that might offend. And as a result, we're ending up more and more with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is painful. I hate to see it.
Yeah, and as I mentioned to our audience, Bruce, it's, you know, it's tough enough that we're going through this and seeing it, but I think about our kids and our grandkids, you know, what is the America that we're going to turn over to them? I mean, when you think about, you know, these incredible, powerful, dynamic words that are inscribed in our, whether it be our Constitution and the Declaration and the preambles of both documents, how, I mean, what other country on God's green earth can you go to and begin a conversation that would include life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness?
No other country prior to the United States was founded on such a revolutionary idea as freedom. And while many countries that exist now include those terms in their documents, it's pretty apparent that no other country embraces that concept the way America embraces that concept. And one of the problems is that it is a long term and an abiding prospect, and our frame of reference of most people is short term. We don't think about anything past our own generation or a couple of generations down the road. You and I will do fine. Given our age and what's likely to, anything that's likely to happen in the country. But what about our grandchildren?
Exactly.
We need to think about, more of us need to think about those kinds of things.
Well, Bruce Thatcher is our guest. We're talking about his new book, Rise and Decline. Bruce, the book is available now at all the usual places, would we say?
Well, we are so early, it has not hit the virtual newsstands like Amazon and, mm-hmm. And Barnes & Noble. My publishers assure me it will be within the next week or two. It is available on my website, historyspeakstoday.com. I have copies that are available there, and of course from the publisher itself they're available. And all that information is on the website, actually available at a pre-publication discount, but I think it'll be a couple of weeks, it will be all over.
Well, as you can understand, ladies and gentlemen, there is so much to this book, and as there was to Bruce's book on immigration, and he came back, he was gracious enough to come back on the show many times to talk about it, and so this is just the beginning of many conversations about the rise and decline as we, you know, keep this issue in front of the eyes and ears of American patriots that see what's happening in their country and want to see what they can do about it. Bruce, in your book, you address the decline of our nation and what we can do about it.
I do. History says we cannot stop the eventual extinction of the country. But history also says that we can prolong the life of the country for a very long time. And in order to do that, we have to get back to a more general and wide acceptance of our founding values. And I'm suggesting among the things that I think we have to do is that parents of school-aged children have to take charge of the values imbued in their children, not leave it up to the schools. Schools, colleges, and universities need to reestablish teaching and comprehension and practice of values and liberties and rights, not just the legalistic things that are in the Constitution, but an internalizing of the idea of these rights. We need to teach Americans to value freedom more highly. There's a big imbalance between freedom and equality. We really are into equality, mm-hmm. but those two, freedom and equality, are opposing principles, and we need to get a balance. Immigration plays a role. We need to get immigrants who buy into these values, and they need to assimilate. Then, of course, there are laws that need to be dealt with. There are regulations and that need to be dealt with. There's just a mass of things that have attacked the founding principles of the country, and they're becoming accepted by the mass of the public. So that and some other things are absolutely things that need to be done, and you can see they're all long-term.
Without a doubt.
Stay focused.
And Bruce, you know, you bring up equality. Boy, I'll tell you, that's a whole show unto itself, and a discussion that we can have. I mean, it's like compassion and justice. We've been talking about that a lot on this show as well, is that, you know, when the government goes into the realm of compassion, then who gets left out? Because in order to be compassionate, which is not anything that is stated in our Constitution, that our government should provide compassion. But when it does that, it always does it at somebody else's expense. And then it opens up that equality issue, right?
You got it. It does.
Oh, the cycle go round and round. It is the cycle of nations, and America is on a cycle of its own. And we'll keep you informed on that. Thank you very much, Bruce Thatcher, for being with us.